This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Terror hits Barcelona. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay on this Friday, August 18th. And here's what we have for you this hour.
A van mowed down pedestrians in the heart of Spain's second largest city, killing more than a dozen people in a terror attack claimed by Islamic State.
Police in Spain have shot and killed five people south of Barcelona while carrying out an operation in response to the terrorist attack.
Republican Senator Bob Corker had strong words for President Trump, saying the president has not demonstrated that he possesses the stability, competence, or understanding of the country's character he needs to succeed.
And the new extremists in the U.S. are united, tech-savvy, and emboldened.
These groups, which hadn't really been working together before, were able to come together in this for this one project is pretty interesting. And something we haven't seen in America in quite a long time. There has not been these far right wing groups gathering together in a long time in these numbers publicly.
That's Cameron McWhorter of the Wall Street Journal. He'll be along in about 20 minutes with that story. A terrorist mowed down pedestrians with a van in the heart of Spain's second largest city yesterday, killing more than a dozen people in an attack claimed by Islamic State. More than 100 others were injured, many severely. The speeding, weaving vehicle moved through a central thoroughfare popular with both tourists and residents. This man saw what happened.
Just had a whole bunch of people screaming and looked up towards my left, and there was a white van driving down the pedestrian area of La Rambla and just knocking people over just in front of us. It was insane.
Meanwhile, Spanish police today shot and killed five people carrying bomb belts who were connected to the Barcelona van attack as the manhunt intensifies for those responsible. The Catalan government says police in the popular seaside resort of Cambrils, south of Barcelona, were responding to a second terrorist attack when they fatally shot five people near the town's seaside boardwalk. Police say the suspects were carrying bomb belts, which have been detonated by the force's bomb squad. Six civilians and one police officer were injured in that second incident. The carnage in Barcelona marked the first fatal terrorist attack in Spain in more than 8 years. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson offered condolences for the loss of life and injuries of so many innocent people yet again. To terrorists around the world, Tillerson said, "We are resolved to find you and bring you to justice." Tillerson added that the U.S. stands ready to assist authorities in Barcelona. Vice President Mike Pence, speaking in Panama City, also offered condolences.
On this dark day, our prayers and the prayers of all the American people are with the victims, their families, and the good people of Spain.
President Trump condemned the attack in a tweet, encouraging Spain to be tough and strong and saying the U.S. will do whatever is necessary to help. After President Trump took to Twitter to defend the preservation of Confederate statues, several lawmakers called for the removal or relocation of such monuments in the U.S. Capitol. This morning's Mike Gavin has more.
In an interview with The Hill, Republican Congressman Tom Rooney of Florida said Confederate monuments should be appropriately contextualized as a symbol of slavery. He added that he doesn't think the U.S. should revere what those guys stood for, and the right side won the war. The Congressional Black Caucus this week also called for the removal of Confederate statues from the Capitol, a campaign backed by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey plans to introduce legislation in the Senate that would do just that. A spokesperson for House Speaker Paul Ryan says the decision should be left up to the states. Under the current rules, each of the 50 states can display two statues in the U.S. Capitol. Those statues can be replaced by the governors and legislatures of those states. There are at least nine Confederate statues in the U.S. Capitol. Jen.
Thanks, Mike.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Ross Akay on this Friday. Thanks for joining us. The white nationalist movement, until recently fragmented, is coming together with help from the web and new leaders. Cameron McWhorter of the Wall Street Journal has taken a look at the movement and is here with more details. Cameron, who made up the group who marched in Charlottesville last weekend?
It was actually a bunch of disparate groups, groups spread out all over the country with very different agendas. You had neo-Confederates, people who believed that the Confederacy should be restored, people who believed all Confederate monuments should remain. Then you also had, on the far extreme, you had, not that that isn't extreme, but you had KKK members, you had people of neo-Nazi groups, and you had a bunch of newer groups and members of these groups that call themselves sort of white identitarians, or they identify with white culture and they believe that white culture is under threat.
How did it come to pass that all of them got together at the same place at the same time?
That's a great question, which I think a lot of people are trying to figure out now, because that the fact that these groups, which hadn't really been working together before, were able to come together in this for this one project to protest the removal of this statue of Robert E. Lee, is pretty interesting and something we haven't seen in America in quite a long time. There have not been these right-wing, far-right-wing groups gathering together in a long time in these numbers publicly. And so lots of people, so academics and law enforcement and others, are very interested in how they were able to do this.
Cameron,
the internet was a big help, as you pointed out.
Cameron, were any of these groups previously not known to authorities?
No, but they haven't. It's an unanswered question as to how focused law enforcement has been on these groups and how much attention they have paid to them. You may remember in the past, certainly after the Oklahoma City bombing, there was a great deal of scrutiny on groups that were white nationalist or overtly anti-Semitic or anti-federal government. That there's some question as to whether that waned with the rise with 9/11 and with focus on possible terrorism from abroad.
We're speaking with Cameron McWhorter at the Wall Street Journal. Cameron, do these groups feel somewhat emboldened by President Trump and some of the messages that he's delivered?
Yes, definitely. To a person, they all feel emboldened by President Trump. Now, I think it's an open question, or it's at least a debatable point, whether how much President Trump supports or doesn't support these groups. I can tell you from talking to many of them, they all feel very emboldened by President Trump. They feel that his comments regarding immigration, regarding Muslim ban, these are the kinds of things that they want to hear.
Okay, Cameron, we touched on it earlier, social media and the role that played. How has that made that different for gathering groups as opposed to maybe after Oklahoma City when there wasn't such a thing as social media?
Right. This is true for all of us, for everybody on the planet right now. You can communicate, you can build your own organization of friends through Facebook, or that's a simplistic version, but there are obviously many more complex programs that can help you communicate, create bulletin boards for people to have discussion groups. Obviously, this can be used for great good and also for goals that aren't as good. So there are certainly groups, white identitarian groups, white culture groups, neo-Nazis that are communicating all across the globe right now. You know, they are talking to fascist groups in Greece or Norway or and they're, you know, in Oklahoma and Alaska and New York, and they're all communicating and building networks just like everyone else is, but their goals are worrisome to law enforcement.
Thanks, Cameron. Cameron McWhorter of the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here now with more of today's top stories.
Jennifer, another vehicle attack in Spain, this one in coastal Cambrils, about 70 miles southwest of Barcelona. Six people were injured. That attack halted by police only after the driver of an Audi A3 rammed his vehicle into a group of pedestrians. The shootout killed five people in the car, all of them wearing fake bomb belts. That second attack took place just hours after someone drove a van into a crowd of people on a tourist-filled stretch of Las Ramblas in Barcelona, killing at least 13 and injuring over 100.
The front of the van was quite damaged, and initially thought it was an accident, but then the guy just kept driving over people.
Eyewitness Brandon Sissing. With the recent wave of terrorist attacks in Europe spreading to Spain, New York City is under high alert against possible copycat vehicle attacks. NYPD counterterrorism chief James Waters.
Cameras and license plate readers and other sensors, as well as bollards and cement barriers.
Heavily armed officers are positioned around Times Square, the Spanish consulate, and other high traffic sites. European markets slid today as the Barcelona terrorist attack rattled markets, dragging U.S. stock futures lower. Investors also concerned over President Trump's tax agenda being pushed aside by crises in North Korea last week and Charlottesville this week, especially the dismantling of his business advisory councils. The White House announced last night that Trump is dropping plans to create an advisory group on infrastructure. The Dow was down 270 points and ended lower for the first day in five. DS Economics CEO Diane Swank says the market's worried about disappointing earnings reports and political uncertainty in Washington.
The fact that Congress isn't in session at the moment compounds that uncertainty because the clock's ticking on how long they have to get an enormous amount of things done.
Well, we'll all likely get a little less done Monday. Outplacement company Challenger Gray & Christmas predicts roughly 87 million workers in the U.S. will be on the job at eclipse time. And between finding a spot to watch it all unfold, witnessing the totality, and then settling back down to work, it's about 20 minutes per head not working for an estimated loss to employers of $694 million.
Or maybe four whole hours of not working if you want to start to finish, hang out outside.
Ouch.
That could be a whole lot more. I don't know if they factored that in. Thanks, Rasa. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal. He'll be back on Monday. This portion of the show is brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Did your kid have a job this summer? Well, while the unemployment rate was low, the pool may have been even lower. Eric Marath of the Wall Street Journal is here with that story. Eric, what are some of the numbers on teen jobs?
Well, we found that the youth unemployment rate, the unemployment rate for those between 16 and 24 years old, fell quite dramatically from a year ago to reach the lowest level since 1969 in July. So it hasn't been almost a half century. It hasn't been easier to find a summer job than this summer. But you're right. The big caveat with this is that very few teens are interested in working relative to the past. For those 16 to 19, kind of your typical high school age kids, less than half even want a summer job. For those that are more in college, closer to about three quarters are seeking some type of summer employment, but that's well down from decades past as well, when it was the norm that someone in college or someone who had at least graduated high school was seeking employment, whether it was a seasonal job or a year-round job.
Now, Eric, for decades, probably older folks have said young people don't want to do anything. They're lazy. Is this really something new that kids today really aren't wanting to work?
Well, it definitely changed. quite a bit, especially for teens, during the most recent recession. We saw a big drop-off there. So I'm not sure that that reflects that teens are lazy, but I think that they saw a lack of opportunities. What happened during the recession when older Americans who had established careers lost those jobs, they were willing to take anything because they had mortgage payments to make and other things along that line. So they started competing with younger people for, you know, a seasonal job, for jobs at the grocery store. And I was told by, you know, several different companies I spoke to that, you know, they don't really like to hire people that they know are only going to be there for 3 months when there's available labor that, you know, will stick with them throughout the course of the year. And at the same time, though, I'm not sure it's laziness, because I did talk to an economist from the University of California, and he's seen a couple different things at play. One is students are seeking out other opportunities that aren't paid. A lot of people take unpaid internships. They like to volunteer. They want to use their summers to travel. And then on the other end of the economic spectrum, rather than work during the summer to help pay your way through college, some students just see the value of taking classes throughout the year and graduating sooner, because the pay for someone who has a college degree is so much higher than someone that's taking a seasonal summer job.
We're speaking with Eric Marath of the Wall Street Journal. Eric, if a teen started out the summer in May or June and looked for a job, were they able to find what they wanted to find this year?
Yes, and that's a difference than in past years. You know, it's still, and they still face an elevated unemployment rate, certainly higher than the almost 4% unemployment rate for all adults, but the rate has fallen quite dramatically. The youth unemployment rate, you know, below 10% for the first time in almost two decades. So, you know, if you were looking for a summer job this year, you know, you were able to pick up that work, whether it was at the lifeguard stand or, you know, talk to someone that did dog grooming. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there because the labor market really has tightened up and employers, once again, are willing to take on some seasonal work that they hadn't looked for in the past.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Marath of the Wall Street Journal. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
On this Friday, August 18th, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines this morning. Spanish police today shot and killed five people carrying bomb belts who were connected to the Barcelona van attack that killed at least a dozen as the manhunt intensifies for the perpetrators of Europe's latest rampage claimed by ISIS. Two top officers involved in a deadly Navy ship collision off the coast of Japan in June have been relieved of their duties. The ACLU says it will no longer defend hate groups that protest using firearms. And celebrating the eclipse Monday, grab your moon pies and stamps. That story in about 20 minutes. The White House has pulled the plug on a planned council that was to advise President Trump on rebuilding the nation's infrastructure, acknowledging that the proposed members would come under pressure not to participate because of the controversy surrounding the president's remarks amid the Charlottesville furor. The administration abandoned the idea of the council one day after two other groups of business leaders disbanded as CEOs of some of the country's largest companies quit over Trump's reaction to a white supremacist rally in Virginia. What does the demise of these councils councils mean for President Trump and or the economy? Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman has some thoughts and joins us now. Rick, were you surprised by the speed in which this whole disbanding thing went down?
I was surprised. Usually, CEOs try to stay out of the limelight. They really don't like getting mixed up in any kind of political thing whatsoever. And it seems like once you had three seems to be the magic number. So once you had three CEOs basically saying, I can no longer abide this, everybody else started flooding for the exits. And, of course, we know Trump then tried to sort of take the initiative back by saying, I don't need you guys anyway. I'm just going to shut down these councils. But clearly a big embarrassment for President Trump.
All right. What do these councils actually do and how much influence do they have?
They are advisory councils. So this is Trump's way, number one, I think, of, you know, getting some ideas for how to do some of the things he has said he wants to do, creating new jobs, being the top one of those things. But I think it's, you know, there's also obviously a symbolic nature to this. It gives Trump some credibility to say, look at all these big names in business I've got behind me. You know, he's certainly not the first president to have advisory councils made up of CEOs. President Obama did the same thing. And, you know, you can go back to the sort of Obama days and say, did those CEOs get much of what they wanted from having the president's ear? You could argue not really. So it's one of these situations where if the president asks you to do this, you really don't want to say no, because if there are important decisions being made, you would like to be a voice at the table. But it's not as if the CEOs sitting in the White House were pulling any policy levers of their own, probably more symbolic than anything else.
Rick, I know we talked about this earlier, early in the administration, back in January and February. These CEOs were actually in Washington and taking photos with the presidents. Any idea how often they met? Do they meet by phone? Were they physically together at any time?
You know, they seem to be mostly photo ops, as you pointed out. These meetings seem to be more frequent earlier in the Trump administration during the first couple of months. And we always knew when they were happening because President Trump himself made a point of making sure the photographers were there. We can remember all the photographs with well-known CEOs sitting around a table, often 20 or more at once. Apple CEO Tim Cook, Elon Musk of Tesla was there, the automaker CEOs, and so on and on and on. It does not seem like there has been much of that type of activity lately. Of course, the Trump administration has been busy with other things, trying to get a health care bill passed, an effort that failed. Now Trump is trying to turn his attention to tax return, and we have sort of seen fewer of these meetings, and now there aren't going to be any of them. So the photo ops at the White House are over, I guess.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, does this disbandment hurt President Trump's ability to push forward his economic agenda?
I think it probably the more important thing is not so much that these more or less symbolic advisory groups have been disbanded, but that we are seeing the business lobbying groups becoming less and less shy about actually confronting President Trump on policies they disagree with. So we're talking about lobbying groups such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable. Generally, they represent all the big companies in the United States. And they seem to have been emboldened by this falling out with Trump and the CEOs. And they are becoming more blatant and advertent about saying, you know, we disagree with certain policies. They don't like Trump's stance on immigration. There's some other things they don't like. What they do want to see is tax cuts and some kind of tax reform, which is one of Trump's top business priorities. So I think we will see them pushing for tax reform, but they will probably be a lot bolder about other Trump policies they may not like as much and opposing that. So I think in that way, that's where this may really harm the Trump presidency.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. Now we go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you might remember we told you last week about the Rally Cat, a cat that became famous after sprinting onto the field during the sixth inning of a game between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals just before Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina hit a game-winning grand slam. He then gained even more attention when he went missing the next day after a woman attempted to smuggle him out of the stadium. He was eventually found. Now thousands of people and organizations have put in bids to adopt the so-called rally cat, but despite the massive amount of individuals and groups hoping to adopt the cat, the Cardinals are claiming ownership over the kitten that spurred their miraculous win. The team has been assured by a St. Louis feral cat organization that the cat will be returned to them after a mandatory 10-day quarantine period. Team owner Bill DeWitt plans to host a ceremony to celebrate Rally Cat and the volunteers who helped rescue him, as well as a Rally Cat Appreciation Day on September 10th.
All right, well, where's this cat going to live? Permanently in the stadium?
Yeah, I guess they'll find maybe they'll build a little enclosure for him in the stadium, maybe bring him out in the seventh inning if they need an extra boost.
All right.
I don't know, but it sounds like they're going to make some space at Busch Stadium for him.
Anything for luck, right?
Yes, exactly. And the team's doing well. I mean, yeah, they're now like a game and a half out. So, as long as they keep winning,
no matter what it is,
they're going to keep rolling the cat out. And by now, everyone has seen countless athletes spend an exorbitant amount of money at team dinner stories, with veterans often forcing rookies to cover the massive charges before they even get their first paychecks. According to BleacherReport.com, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used that premise to their advantage recently. A reporter for the Tampa Bay Times tweeted a screenshot from Donovan Smith's Instagram account of a more than $26,000 steakhouse bill the offensive lineman left for rookies Corin Kervin and Cole Gardner to pay. But if you take a closer look at the bill includes some strange charges, such as $12 for Brussels sprouts and $11 for cream corn. Also, who on the team got that free child's ice cream? As it turns out, it was all a hoax. According to ESPN.com, the veterans picked up the actual $3,000 tab. A Ruth's Chris Steakhouse manager confirmed that the restaurant's participation in the prank, and they said nobody ordered a child's ice cream on the house.
I would think that any NFL offensive lineman would need more than a child's ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be the tip-off right there.
Yes, yeah, that should have been the first clue, and thankfully the guys, they didn't actually have to pick up any of it. The veterans picked up the whole bill for him. So that's
unusual.
Yeah, that's the unusual part of the story, I think.
All right, thanks, Mike. It's 14 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Gordon will be back on Monday. Jennifer Kashinka in for him, along with Ross Akay. In a long-term study of the latest treatment for peanut allergy, scientists in Australia report that an immune-based therapy helped children allergic to peanuts eat them without reactions for 4 years. The study follows up on children enrolled in an earlier study of an immunotherapy treatment which combined probiotics with small doses of peanuts that were designed to gradually train the children's immune systems to accept the peanut allergen rather than treat it as something foreign. Compared to 4% of children who didn't get any treatment, 82% of those receiving the combination therapy significantly reduced their allergic reactions to peanuts. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Ross Akay is here with more of today's First News.
Jennifer, it's still not clear how many attackers were involved and just what the plan entailed, but it's becoming clear a coordinated group of terror cells has been plotting havoc in Spain. In the coastal town of Cambrils, southwest of Barcelona today, police stopped the driver of an Audi A3 after it rammed into a group of pedestrians, injuring 6. 5 suspects in that car, all wearing fake bomb belts, were killed in a shootout with police. That second attack took place just hours after someone drove a van into a crowd of people on a tourist-filled stretch of Las Ramblas in Barcelona, killing at least 13. An urgent manhunt still underway for that driver, while relatives search for loved ones missing in the chaos. Kalani Kalanui of San Francisco says the crash separated his sister from her husband.
He had to use the restroom. He left her side, and within seconds later, she's being pushed over into the kiosk. Again, she was disoriented, got up, tried to search for him, and then got evacuated from the area.
Citizens from at least 24 countries among the more than 100 wounded. The Durham sheriff started arresting protesters who allegedly participated in the toppling of a statue of Robert E. Lee Monday, but yesterday, dozens of activists gathered around the Durham courthouse and marched toward the city jail to demand the charges be dropped and to try to turn themselves in, too, in a show of solidarity. 8 people are now charged. New Jersey U.S. Senator Cory Booker wants all Confederate statues removed from the U.S. Capitol. He tweeted he'll be introducing a bill to get that done. Tennessee Republican Senator Bob Corker is calling for radical changes from the White House, delivering a stinging critique of President Trump for his lack of discipline in handling a national crisis.
The president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate in order to be successful.
Corker spoke to reporters at a Rotary event in Chattanooga. The Eclipse Mega Movie is asking observers to use their app Monday to upload eclipse images along the path of totality to produce an expanded and continuous film of the total eclipse as it crosses the country. It'll produce a unique data set of the white light corona. That's something that usually is impossible to observe.
Something makes me think we're going to see a lot of pictures coming out of this eclipse.
It's very exciting. Are you not stoked, Jennifer?
I'm fired up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be the Great American Eclipse without some quirky merchandise to go with it. First, we've got the Moon Pie Survival Kit. The kit has everything you need to get through the totality, 4 mini moon pies and 2 pairs of glasses. The sugar will fuel your energy level, while the glasses will keep your retinas safe. There are dog eclipse glasses. Petco has been selling dog goggles or doggles for years. Which some owners may put on their dog's eyes, but they probably won't need them. Unlike humans, dogs have a better sense than to stare at the sun. Ozzy Osbourne will be performing at the Moonstock Festival in Cartersville, Illinois, and fans of the Prince of Darkness can order a special collector's edition bottle of his solar red wine, which comes in a handcrafted hardwood coffin and autograph label. The Postal Service has issued special commemorative eclipse stamps that change from an eclipse image to a moon image from the heat of your finger. If you can't find any of the nearly sold out glasses, you can also build your own pinhole projector with instructions from NASA, allowing you to witness the interstellar beauty from within the safety of an old cereal box. And that'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.